today on Real Radio.
Where's the justice in the end? When will that mother ever have justice? When will that little child that was abused ever have justice? If you have no God, if the Bible's not true, there is no justice ever. And by the way, if there is no God and if there is no Bible, then there is no right, there is no wrong. Think about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Grandeur of God, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was consistently given messages from God about the morale breakdown of the times. The book of Isaiah also talks of visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapters 36 through 39, we saw how Isaiah deals with events that are currently happening in Judah. How Assyria, Judah's greatest enemy, had surrounded Judah. The nation of Assyria was ruled by Sennacherib. That title means the Great One. Now, this man was greatly feared by Judah because no one had ever survived his attacks. But Judah's king Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for help, and God delivered Judah from the Assyrians in a very miraculous way. Now in Isaiah chapter 40, we'll enter into the grandeur or the splendor of God as seen in his creation, salvation, and many other ways. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the grandeur of God can be seen in what he's already shown us in nature and in his creation. God perfectly balances our world and our universe. He controls everything, and whatever we're going through, he will come through for us. And now continuing his lesson called The Grandeur of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The word of the Lord stands or abides forever. What does this mean? It means that this time that you and I live, it's so brief, it's so short, it's so small of a time. And everything outside of our lifetime spent, that is called eternity, and the believer goes into the place where the Lord is in eternity forever, and that's where you're really going to live. Imagine for a moment how tragic it would be that this life that you have is all that there is. Listen, isn't this world painful and scary and dangerous? Listen, if this is all there is, then there's no justice in the world. There's no justice for anyone. You say, what do you mean? Well, what about the mother who had the little child that was kidnapped and tortured and raped and then murdered? Where's the justice in the end? When will that mother ever have justice? When will that little child that was abused ever have justice? If you have no God, if the Bible's not true, there is no justice ever. And by the way, if there is no God and if there is no Bible, then there is no right, there is no wrong. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Whatever feels good, do it. Think about it. But God does exist, and there's an internal witness in every one of us that bears witness to the fact all of us know what's right and what's wrong. And even, listen, even to the most debased, corrupt person you may know or read about or hear about on the news. Isn't it interesting, no matter how debased, let's pick on Charles Manson. As sick as that poor, pathetic human being is, he has a morality inside of him. Did you know that? Even his morality. There are things to Charlie Manson that are right and wrong. Even in Manson, there's evidence of God's existence. He would have to confess that. Charlie Manson, to you, what is right? To you, what is wrong? Isn't it interesting that even in prison, there's a morality in prison. There's a morality in gangs. There's a morality, you name it. What? Why? Because it's inside. God's written it on our hearts. And the word of the Lord stands forever, and therein is our great hope. Because this life will fade away. I'll never convince young people of that. Because when you're young, it's just, when you're young, you never think you're going to get old. In fact, when you're young, you look at old people and you say, what a bunch of weirdos. Those people go to bed at 9 o'clock. I remember thinking that. I remember, like, why sleep? I might miss something. I'll just stay up. Isn't it, I just told Lisa yesterday, isn't it sad that energy is wasted on youthful people? It's wrong. Now that I'm old, I need energy. And then you know what really stinks? I can't sleep. I sleep about 3 hours a day. Out of 24 hours, I sleep about 3 hours. It's painful, it hurts. It's not, I don't do this for fun. But you know what? A teenager will lay down and sleep for 12, 14 hours. I hate them. I hate every one of them. In verses 9 through 11, the grandeur of God is seen in his witness. It's witnessed at his invitation. He says in verse 9, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, oh, this is important, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah. Last week we learned that Sennacherib had destroyed some 46 cities of Israel and Judah. Now the prophecy goes out and says, get up and speak to the cities that were destroyed. Behold your God. Behold your God. You know what's awesome about this? Verse 9. Verse 9 is going to be fulfilled. There's going to be a day coming. Listen, all Bible scholars, students in this building tonight are listening or watching. Make note of this. There's going to come a time in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, where in the future, Zion is going to speak up with good tidings. It never has. There's going to be a day coming when Jerusalem's going to speak up. It's going to have good tidings to proclaim. There's going to be a time when a shout's going to go forth out of Israel. It's never happened. You know when it's going to happen? You might be shocked. It's going to happen, according to the Bible, during the tribulation period. The gospel is going to be preached. And then from that moment on, throughout the millennium, the gospel will be heralded from Jerusalem. You see, what do you mean during the tribulation period? Well, for one thing, the book of Revelation tells us that the 144,000 Jews during the tribulation period are going to preach the gospel of the world, and the amount of people converted by their preaching is too many to number. Think of that. But the announcement, the shout is, behold your God. It has always been God's plan to use his people Israel. God, that's what you read the Old Testament. God wanted to use them. I told you a couple weeks ago that God's plan for Israel was to be unlike any nation on earth. Do you remember God had decreed them to be a theocracy? There is not to be a Republican, Democrat, Parliament, King over Israel. Never. God wanted to rule over his people. It's the people in rebellion who said, we don't want you. We want a king like all the other nations. And Israel's been messed up ever since. The announcement's going to be made in the future. Israel, behold your God. Why? Because God had engineered from the beginning. He had given Israel the opportunity to proclaim the gospel from Zion. And what do we read in the Bible? Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts 13, 44. Listen to this tragedy. On the next day, or on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Verse 45, Acts 13. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, this is the Jewish leadership, the religionist, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things which were spoken of by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, quote, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow. That was promised to the Jewish people. Did you know that? That the world was supposed to hear the gospel at the mouth of a Jew. But the leadership, listen, the Jewish leadership commandeered the people. The word is Nicolaitan. They took control over the theology and they imposed their man-made religion on the Jewish people. And remember what the Bible says? Jesus said, you're the blind leading the blind. Think about how often religion will keep people from knowing the truth. Listen, this is bizarre, isn't it? See this book? It's called the Bible. There are religions, I should say, there are, quote, Christian organizations. They really hope you don't read this and believe it. Because if you do, then you just might wind up having your own relationship with God and you won't need their leadership anymore. Nicolaitan is the word to lord over the people and you keep them in ignorance. Any religion that seeks to keep somebody uninformed and ignorant is dangerous. And cults. God invites you to know. And Israel was to be the voice to the world. Well, the day is coming in prophecy when that will happen. Isaiah 49 verse 6 tells us, Isaiah 49:6, indeed he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and preserve the ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You see that, everybody? That was God's intended purpose of the Jewish nation. But they rejected it. And they were set aside, not destroyed, not left out, set aside. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. He's talking about the future. Who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. What an awesome thing. In Israel, I've had a chance to tell Jewish people the gospel. And they'll say, okay, you can tell me what you believe, but don't open the New Testament. Not in my house. Only Old Testament. Okay, good, got it, fine. And you start giving them new Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah. And they'll say, wait, I told you not to read the New Testament. I'm not reading the New Testament, I'm reading the Old Testament about who your Messiah is. And it completely causes them to have to deal with light. You can see the light of illumination hitting them. And the last time I had a chance to do this, the two people I were talking to began to speak to each other, not in English now. Now they're talking in Hebrew, and they were getting angry, not at each other. I thought they were getting angry at me. And I said, what's going on? And they said, we're angry. Why are you angry? Because in all of our lives, our rabbis have never told us this. And the light comes on. Someday, his grandeur will be coming out of the mouth of his nation once again. But his grandeur is witnessed at his invitation. He says, lift up, get up, stand up, speak up. What a tremendous thing. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, that is the second coming. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. That is, he brings salvation. And his work before him. He shall feed his flock. Verse 11. Oh my goodness, listen everybody. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with or in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Anybody remember that song from the old days of... Remember that? I'm not going to sing it, but boy, we used to sing that at Costa Mesa under Pastor Chuck. It was just one of the songs. Note, my friend, the nature of God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. No one is a better friend to the sheep than the shepherd. In my mind, I'm sorry, this may be a terrible illustration, but I'm laughing in my head right now because my first visit to Israel ever, I think, was 94, 95, I don't remember. But in the old city, a shepherd pulled up in a taxi cab. He's in the front with the taxi driver in a Mercedes-Benz. He pulls up, the shepherd gets out of the Mercedes-Benz taxi. And he opens up the door of the back seat of the taxi, and about 7 sheep get out of the back seat. And then he just starts leading them on their down the streets in old city of Jerusalem. And it's like, I don't even get to ride in a Mercedes. The sheep pulls up in a Mercedes. Who does that? The shepherd does it for the sheep? But he'll lay down his life for the sheep. You can always tell a good shepherd in Israel. Their hands are very, very scarred up. Very, very, very earthy, scarred up hands, because those hands have gotten into all kinds of stuff, getting sheep out of barbed wire, getting sheep out of rocks, getting sheep out of animals' mouths, wild dogs. Amazing, isn't it? I want you to be encouraged by this. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah, feed my people, feed my sheep, my word. The nation would one day cry out, and God said, I will give you shepherds who will feed you the scriptures. That's us. We're the sheep of his pasture. Wow, look at verses 12 to 14. The grandeur of God can be seen in what he has shown us. Look at verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Is this God exaggerating or what? I don't think so. Don't think of him as human in human terms. Now today, just out of fun, I measured the hollow of my hand, the hollow, and then in a moment, the span. And so the hollow of my hand is about, that's the, if you hold out, can everybody hold out your hand? Do you see, it's different for some of us, but it's the pool in the middle. See the little pool you can pour water right there? Okay, that? Okay, what does God say? God says, I've measured out the waters, the seas, in the hollow of my hand. I'm going to show you some images just to get you going. The first one, think about the seas. God governs over the seas, the righteousness of the waves, the Bible says. Think of that. God says, I measure the oceans, the Mariana Trench. How deep is it? Oh, God says, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing for me. God's grandeur is seen. Isn't it amazing? A verse that's not in our study tonight, but God said, I have spoken to the oceans and to the raging sea, and I told them, you can rage and do whatever you do, but your mighty waves stop at the shore right here, and they go no further. Is that the grandeur of your God? What's this next one? Look at verse 12. He measured heaven with a span. I measured the span of my hand. What's the span? The span is from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your baby finger across. I measured mine tonight. It's 9.5 inches from here to there. Okay? God says, I measure the universes, not the universe, the universes in the span of my hand. This is, look, does that look fake? That's from the Hubble telescope. That's from NASA.gov. You can go there and look at them later. God says, that's Hebrew for that's my grandeur. Look at that. Keep looking, keep your eyes on the screen. Verse 12, he says, I calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. In a little tiny, not the measuring cup, in a something less than a teaspoon, God says, I've measured the dust of the earth. We see continents. We see the world. God says, I measured that out there. How big is he to you? How big is he? Verse 12 continues, he weighed the mountains in scales. He weighs them. Now, this is brilliant. This is awesome. The Bible says he weighs them. The word can be argued in Hebrew that the word we would use, there's a word for it I'm missing, but you know, if you get a tire and you need a tire balanced down at the tire store, you know how they put it on whatever that thing is called? And it spins up to certain miles per hour to simulate road drive, and then they balance it out? Did you know the earth is spinning right now? Did you know that you're moving literally? You and I are in a state of equilibrium right now. And inside this state of equilibrium, okay, we're moving just on a rotational level of about somewhere between 12 to 1300 miles an hour right now. You're going over 1,000 miles an hour. We're looking at each other right now, and everything around us and everything beneath us, we are in equilibrium, we're moving. So imagine, you know, snow globe, you know those snow globes you would shake? Imagine the snow globe and you put it on the hood of your Ferrari and you go 200 miles an hour. The Anna and Elsa has, they have no idea how fast they're going. Until you slam on the brakes, and then they would. Did you know tonight you're moving this way over 1,000 miles an hour, and then just our solar system, it's in a state of equilibrium, but it's moving, and our universe is on or in a state of equilibrium, and it's also moving. Think of a truck upon a truck upon, or a flatbed upon a flatbed upon a flatbed, and that with all of the mechanisms moving, in 24 hours from this second, we will have all moved, in all of the movements combined, 1 million miles from where we are tonight in this point of space. And in the midst of all of it, God has balanced the earth. How technical and how true is your Bible? He has so balanced it that did you know when there was that massive earthquake that caused the Phuket tsunami? Remember that? Tragic Christmas Day. Did you know that the displacement of water in the sea was so great that the scientists at Caltech and other institutions in the world picked up that it moved the globe, it caused the globe to slightly wobble a bit like a top until it came back to equilibrium again. I want you to think about that for a moment. An earthquake caused the entire world suspended in space to wobble. Everything is so finely tuned by God that we rarely stop to even think about it. The grandeur of God is awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called The Grandeur of God Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. Isn't it great to know that we serve an awesome God who's got it all under control? The Grandeur of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, real life can be challenging, we all know that. And in order to grow and mature in our relationship with Christ, we need to start with the basics. That's why Pastor Jack has a video series called Real Life Basics, where he takes us through basic yet vitally important questions that relate to our Christian walk. Questions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And topics that guide us through the importance of church, the Bible, money, our freedoms, confession, and so much more. So if you want answers to some of the basics of Christianity, head on over to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Home tab or the Watch tab. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.